My name's Clayton Massey. I am from Pittsburgh. I'm a transplant from Kentucky, though. Pastor in Pittsburgh, and we are affiliated with the Bible College there, where Brother Predick was here just a few nights ago. He's the president, and they have recruited me to become the director of the adult and the youth camp. And there's some information back there. Next week is our adult camp. We've got a great lineup from Sunday to Sunday. We have a gentleman by the name of Michael Switzer, which is a really good pastor and traveled many years as an evangelist. And then we have a young man out of Florida. He married Brother Rufus Caraway's daughter, and his name's Travis Matney. He's doing our day services. And then we've got a man from up here that's going to preach our Wednesday night service. And we don't know how he's going to do, but we're excited about Brother Frazier's. Our Wednesday afternoon is going to come. We have several different preachers during the day services, and we're really excited. We want you to come. We ask you, come, please, be a part in our camp. We do know that gas is high and expensive, but if in any way you can afford to come, we'll do our best to treat you well, give you a nice room to stay in, and we just really like for you. Normally, our camp is during this week here. This is normally, it's the way it has always been. And last year, we sat down in our board meeting, and we said we need fellowship more than keep the same week. So we actually changed our date so that we could actually try to have fellowship with organizations like yourself. And we're here, and we'd like to have you come and be with us. So please, and then a couple weeks from that, we've got a nice youth camp coming up from Monday to Friday, 2 weeks after that. And 8 to 18 years old, and we have an exciting youth camp. We're really excited about that. One thing that's kind of new and might be forbidden in some areas, we've got a new thing called Dare to Enter the Square. We have the first and original, this will be our second annual, all-out fist fight. And you're all wondering what I'm talking about when I say that, right? We have collected, the Bible school has a lot of donations that come in, and one of those things that comes in is seltzer water. How many like to drink seltzer water? It's nasty stuff. And just diet drinks that the kids don't drink at Bible school. So they save it up, and we allow the young people at the youth camp earn those seltzer waters and fizzable drinks. And we have a fizz fight, not a fist fight. And fizz and food fight, we mark off an area in the field, and the kids kind of go crazy over that. We do monitor that, but it's just been fun for the kids, and we're just excited about having a good time. I need something, though, from you this afternoon before I get into the message. I can tell I need that. Here, there are two things that a minister needs before he can minister. One thing a minister has to have is the anointing. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. I have to have the anointing. But there's something else that I need, especially since I'm a stranger. I need to feel comfortable. Amen. I need to feel comfortable. And, you know, we can sit down with people that we know very well. We can go and have fellowship together, whether it be in your living room, my living room, or somewhere. And we can sit with friends and talk and have a conversation that has absolutely no point to it at all. And we can do it for hours upon hours upon hours and laugh and enjoy each other's fellowship and really not have any purpose in the conversation except just to be together. And we can converse and we can understand one another because we feel comfortable. I need to feel comfortable this afternoon. Amen. I need to feel comfortable. How many's glad to be saved? Amen. Praise God. I'm glad to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. A few weeks ago, I took our young people out. We do this every week. We have a bus ministry. As you know, I've already said we live in Pittsburgh. We're surrounded by the Pittsburgh city limits, so we are in a low-income community, a borough called McKees Rocks, and we have a bus ministry. We go all over Pittsburgh, we pick up kids, and generally they're low-income kids. We go into the projects, and we were out with some young people. I'm training some of our young people on how to pick up kids, and one thing you definitely have to do when you're picking up new kids is be very loud, because mom has the window open, and she sees a stranger outside talking to her children. She needs to know what you're saying to her children. So we say we're from Super Church. We want you to come to Super Church with us. We have to be very loud. We talk to the kids. And another thing that we have to do when we talk to those young people, those children, we have to be excited. Because I walked up on some of our young people the other day, and I walked up behind them, and one of the young people was kind of standing like this right here. This is what it looked like. And a little boy or a little girl was in front of them, and this is about what they said. You won't go to Super Church? And I pulled them aside, and I said, you can't encourage a kid to go anywhere like that. They're not going to go with you anywhere if you want to go to Super Church. I mean, you gotta let the kids know, hey, you wanna go to Super Church? We got games, we got prizes, we got skits, we got fun. Oh man, it's the greatest place. We bring you home. We're gonna give you some good things when you get home. We get tacos today. Hamburgers today. We give them things, you know, when they get off the bus, and Huggies. I don't like drinking Hugs. You know what I'm talking about? Them little Kool-Aid drinks. I don't get much out of them, but man, my kids love Hugs. I was dropping some off the other day, and I threw a few out, and the mom come running out the door and said, I want one! She wanted a hug. I can't hardly like them, but we have to be excited when we're talking to people about going to church. We have to be excited. I'm going to ask you, how many's glad to be saved? Hallelujah. I'm glad to be saved. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is my salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm starting to feel comfortable now, and I appreciate that. I want you to turn with me in the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, I don't know. We're just going to try. Though I've been through 3 years of Bible college, my mind is like a gas tank. A lot of times what goes in pretty soon burns out pretty quick. And the older I get, the more it costs to put it in there, too. You can all understand that, right? Takes a little more to put it in today than it did when I was younger. And so there's a lot of details in the book of Nehemiah that I can't tell you because I really don't know. But I'm going to give you what I know. I'm not going to give you a lot of the details that I don't know. I don't want to pretend, but I will give you what I do know and what I have upon my heart. And I hope that you can gather something from this morning. Book of Nehemiah. We're going to start out with the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. Nehemiah has a concern. By the way, on the back table there, you already see them, is our flyer. So what I've mentioned is what is on the back table is our flyer for our youth camp and our adult camp. And so just take that. Take that. If you do have a desire to come, please just let us know. And on we go. Nehemiah has a concern. He's a cupbearer in Shushan the palace. And he has a desire to know what is taking place there in his homeland. And he don't really know, but he inquires. And we are actually going to read the entire first chapter of Nehemiah and go through just selective scriptures through the first portion of the whole book of Nehemiah. And I'm just going to talk to you, and maybe the Lord will help us. But Nehemiah has a concern, and we're going to start with verse 1. If you have your Bibles, I really need you to read with me. Not out loud, but just stay with me. And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now we live in a day today that everything is pretty evident on the condition of today's society. We don't have to get into grave details on how wicked it is today because we already know, don't we? We don't have to remind each other because we're already reminded every day we work in the world that we live in. We live in the world. We drive through. Some of our young people go to the schools, and they know how bad things are without being told and reminded. So as my preacher calls it, I don't have to be a booger hunter. I don't have to find the bad in this world. The bad has already been found. And Nehemiah wants to know how bad it is. And when he's told how bad it is back at Jerusalem, it has a gripping effect upon him. Now, he's in the comforts of Shushan. He's a cupbearer. He has the pleasure of sitting with the king in his leisure time and serving him his refreshments. He has the pleasure there of being in comfort. But Nehemiah, when he hears about the condition of his home, though he's far removed away from his home, it affects him. And the Bible says that in verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." The effect that Nehemiah, the effect that took a hold of him just because of what he heard. We hear a lot of things today. I want to encourage you, before I even get into my message, beware. Beware that when you hear a stirring message or God deals with you, beware not to shun that off. Let it affect you. Let it affect you. I've heard one man say the most alarming thing in the church world today, I don't know where it come from, maybe Brother Moore said, I don't know, but the most alarming thing in the church world today is that there is no alarm. The most alarming thing in the church world today is that there is no alarm. We've shut our whistles down. Man, we've taken the air away from the horns. We've taken cutting the ropes off the bells, and there's no alarm in the church world today. But Nehemiah has an alarm, and he's shaken, and he prays, and he mourns, and he weeps, and he sits down, and he takes time to talk to God. And notice what he says to God there, starting in verse 5. "And I said I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." Notice, he reads on, he goes on continuing to pray, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, nor thy judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into a place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." I tell you what, Nehemiah gets very detailed with God, and he reminds God that if these people will turn back to you, you'll bring us back together. We may live in a bad and wicked hour, amen, but that doesn't mean that God's people cannot be blessed and the church cannot go forward in God. And Nehemiah prays that prayer. He needs a blessing from God to have favor with a king, because he wants to go and view Jerusalem in its condition and see it brought back to the way it was. I want everybody to say this word, was. Say it again. Was! Amen. Nehemiah wants to go back, and he gets his favor from the king. And God blesses Nehemiah. And he gives him men. He gives him a beast to ride upon. He gives him what he needs to go back and start a project for God. In Nehemiah, we see in chapter 2 and verse 12 that Nehemiah goes, and not only does he hear about the condition, but now he goes to see the condition. In verse 12, and I appreciate your patience. We are reading a lot here. In verse 12, I want you to notice what Nehemiah sees. I want you to look at it with me. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Watch Nehemiah. Watch him. Watch him as he goes into Jerusalem and he peers and he looks at this wall and the condition of a city. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port. And I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Watch him. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool. But there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up by night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. He's weaving in and out. He's looking at the rubble and the rubbish and the ruin. And I returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He got a first-hand observation. He looked deep into the condition. It became his burden. It became his problem. It became something that he was concerned about. It was something at that time he couldn't share to begin with. It was something that got a hold of him, traveling in and out. And there's something that takes place in the Christian whenever he wants to go to the next level. And he wants to do something about what he sees that needs to be done. We live in a wicked hour. And Nehemiah gathers the people together in verse 17 of chapter 2, and he has a talk with those people. And the first thing I appreciate Nehemiah about is he didn't deny the problem. He didn't deny the problem. In verse 17, it said, "Then said I unto them, See, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." He didn't deny the problem. He's seen the way it was. And then in verse 18, I like this, the next step, the next level, he takes them from not denying the problem or the distress. He takes them to another level in verse 18, and he lets them know, while we don't deny the problem, neither do we deny the strength of God. In verse 18, he said, "I told them how the hand of my God which was upon me, and also the king's words that he has spoken to me, and they said, Let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." Praise God. I tell you what I need, church. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. I do. I need God's help. While we live in an hour which is a wicked hour, we need God's help. And Nehemiah built back up. And the next chapter, chapter 3, two Wednesdays ago I was about to go to church. I sat down and I pulled up the Bible and I opened up the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, and I began to read. I read through chapter 1. I read through chapter 2. And then I read through chapter 3, and in the midst of chapter 3, the Holy Ghost began to work on me. I started feeling God. I mean, God just started blessing me. It started getting rich. I mean, it just like, it was just opening up, and I was feeling God, and God was speaking to me. And when you look at the third chapter of Nehemiah, you're not going to understand what I've seen. Because the book of Nehemiah chapter 3 is nothing more than a list of the men that rebuilt the wall. The materials that they used to rebuild the wall, that's all it is. The words went in there, they went and built, they repaired, they used locks, bars, and beams, and these men went from this corner to this corner, and this man went from this beam, and this tower to this tower, and from this gate to this gate, and that's all I've seen, that's all it was. But the Holy Ghost began to speak to me in all of that, and I just began to meditate on it, and I didn't understand everything, but I felt God, and it was good, and it was God's Word, it began to minister to me, I just began to look at that. And so I'm going to share some of the things that God showed me in Nehemiah chapter 3, which hopefully you'll see when I see what I get done. One thing that Nehemiah, after he sees all the distress, and he sees all this ruin, and he sees all the rubbish, and he sees all the problems, amen, he not only doesn't see the problems, he sees the people. And he gets these people together. And he encourages them and tells them, yeah, I've been back in Shushan, but God's hand was on me and God blessed me. And those people began to swell up in their heart and they said, let's put our hand to the work. They strengthened themselves in God. And then Nehemiah starts jotting down the names of the people that start working. And it's really crazy there, but there's something there you must see. Amen. There is a large diversity of different kinds of people that get involved in rebuilding that wall. They're not all stone men, quarry men. Amen. They're not all masonry men. They're not all construction men. Amen. Some of these people that got involved probably didn't know a thing about what they were doing. Some of them were apothecaries. Pharmacist. Some of those people were merchants. Maybe they sold tapestry or cloth, or maybe they sold a grain. I don't know, but some of them were merchants. Amen. The Bible says that some of them were priests and nobles. Amen. There's one scripture in there. I've got a list of all of them there written down, but I don't need to run back. One scripture in there. Amen. It says the name of a man, and it says that he is a ruler of the half of Jerusalem, and it includes his daughters that got involved. The only time you see that, his girls got involved in rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem there. And I begin to read that diversity of all those people that got their hand involved in rebuilding that wall. Amen. I begin to see God work on all these people. You know, they didn't just throw it up in a day, or two, or three, or four, or a month. Hallelujah. 6 months. They all worked together and stayed at this thing. And while they were a diversity of people, they all had one purpose in mind. They all got involved. Hallelujah. And when they started out working the old Joe next to them that they didn't know very well at all, before it was all done, they knew who Joe was. They knew what he liked. They knew what he disliked. Hallelujah. They knew what they didn't know before. Hallelujah. You know what we need in our churches today? We need to know the brothers that we call brother. We need to know the sisters that we call sister. They got involved. They began to build that wall and put it all together for God. Hallelujah. They all got involved. They might have been diverse in their job. Some of these men right here, you know your jobs better than I do, because I don't know you. You don't know me, but we're diverse. Amen. But we should all have one purpose, and that's to build a kingdom for God. Hallelujah. They all got involved. They began to build that kingdom and rebuild that wall. The Bible gives them their place where they work. We may not all work the same place, but they all got their places. He starts from this gate to this corner, to this tower, to this turn, to this gate, to this corner. He starts here. One guy takes a gate and a few feet on the wall. One man takes 1,000 cubits of the wall. But they all get involved and they build this thing for God. Hallelujah. And that began to speak to me. That began to stir in me. I mean, the Holy Ghost began to show me some things. So I sat down and I began to write. Even this morning, I began to write some more details about the building there in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 3, he talks about the wall But he also gets a little detailed about specific gates. Now, I'm sorry. I really am. I don't know, and I should, exactly how many gates there are to the city of David. I know there's going to be 12 in the New Jerusalem, but I don't know how many there were. But there are 8 gates mentioned. 7 of those gates are gates that were affected by the repair and the rebuilding work. 1 gate was just, I guess it was already okay. And that was the last gate mentioned in verse 29. That was the east gate. No mention of need of repair to the east gate. Whether it did or didn't need it, it wasn't mentioned. But we look there at those gates. The first gate mentioned is found in chapter 3, verse 1. And the first gate mentioned was repaired by the priest. That was repaired, and there was something those priests did to that gate that we need to do to the gate of our kingdom. Those priests sanctified that gate. Hallelujah. They chose that gate, and they sanctified that gate. We see that in other places there through the Scripture and through Nehemiah. But I like it that God showed them, amen, that that first gate needs to be sanctified. And yes, it was just a sheep gate, but it was sanctified. Well, we looked through there, and there were some other things that I seen that was kind of peculiar that I normally wouldn't look for. But since I'm already into it and I feel God and I'm reading this and God's feeding my soul, I begin to look for more details. So I begin to look and I see that there's a word there that's used real often in those 32 verses of chapter 3. Amen. 32 verses, we see one word is used 33 times, and that word is called repair. Repair. Now, to repair, I vaguely remember when I was a little boy, my dad when I was young was mainly a row crop farmer, corns, beans, milo, and wheat. But when I was a little bitty guy, I vaguely remember my dad had some cattle across the road from the home. We'd hop in my dad's truck in his 76 Chevrolet. Which that ain't really very old, but it was a truck anyway. We'd hop in that truck. We'd go across the road and out in the field, and he'd run along those fence lines. He'd drive those fence lines around that cattle field. And we'd stop, and my dad would get a tool out of his pocket or off the dash. You know, most farmers got all their tools on the dash of their truck. With some baling wire and some duct tape, you know. But anyway, we'd get that tool out. It was a funny-looking tool. It had long handles on it, and it had a little pointed deal that stuck out over the end. It looked like a rhinoceros nose. It just kind of stuck out there. I didn't know what it was. My dad could grab a piece of baling wire and clamp down on that baling wire and break it. He could make a loop and stick that little horn in that loop and make a few turns, make a loop out of it. He could take a small piece of baling wire, and he could repair a fence. He didn't have to go out and get the whole fence down and add the whole thing all over again. My dad could repair a broken down area in the fence to keep the cattle in. These people here, we see 33 times that Nehemiah gathered these people here to repair the wall. There's a reason there. Now, spiritually, speaking in typology, I believe God doesn't want us to go out and build a new church. I'm not talking about a building. He doesn't want us to go out and start a new thing. He doesn't want us to go out and find a different anointing. A new thing. God, I think He wants us just to repair that which is broken down. And Nehemiah sees these pieces, they begin to repair this one and repair that one and repair this one and repair 33 times repetitive. Repair this one and repair here. They repaired here and they repaired here. They repaired. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost spoke to me in that. And then I began to get blessed. But then I look a little deeper and I find something else about the gates. The gates didn't get repaired. One gate we see that is solely repaired, and the word built is not involved. But the gates didn't get repaired. The gates were built. It says that He repaired and He built. Verse 3 says the word build. The old gate they just repaired is what it says. Verse 13 says he repaired and built it. Verse 14 he says he repaired and built it. Verse 15 says he repaired and built it. Verse 29, there's no need and no mention of the word repair or anything. But what I see here in the gates, amen, what I see here, there was a purpose and a reason why he used the word built. And I think it goes along with those four words that we find in verses 13. The Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 3, in the valley gate repaired Hanan, the inhabitants of Zonana, and they built it, and they set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, the doors, the locks, and the bars. Verse 14, we see the word doors, locks, and the bars. Verse 15, we see the word locks, doors, and bars. There are times when we look through there, we see the word beams, doors, locks, and bars. They repaired the wall, but they built the gate. But they didn't just build it with old material. They fortified it. They took those old gates and they put beams on them. They put doors on them. They put locks on them. They put doors, locks, and they put bars on them. Amen. They secured it. They sealed up the gates. They made sure that the gates were strong. Amen. They didn't use old material. Amen. Nehemiah didn't want to see this happen again. Amen. So they used new material to cover and to seal up the gate. I tell you what we got to do, church. We got to be careful on what we do with the gate. Amen. We might be able to use some old material, amen, in our lives to keep going, but that gate's got to stay secure. Hallelujah. That gate's got to stay secure and sealed. We got to be careful what comes in. We got to be definitely careful what goes out. That gate's got to be secure. In our experience, secure. And Nehemiah gets all these people together and they build this. They secure the gate. They build it. They work. They know each other. Diverse in people and styles and types of people. They build this. They didn't cut any costs when it come to putting up the gate. And Nehemiah is seeing this job done. He's seeing it done. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, Sanballat, the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah, the men that came against Nehemiah and the workers, had a statement that they made in chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. And they say this in verses 1, 2, and 3. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, and it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, that he was wroth. He's mad. He didn't like it. He was angry. Sanballat didn't like it that they were going to the next level. He liked it the way it was. He liked the wall down. He liked the rubbish and the rubble and the ruin and the soot. And he liked those ashes. He didn't like it that they were building. And it made him angry. The Bible even says, under great indignation. He's mad. And he mocked the Jews there in the ending of verse 1 of chapter 4. And he makes a statement that's cutting and hurting to Nehemiah and the people there. And this is what he says. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, that he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they they make an end of a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What do they think they're doing? Look at this mob. Look at these people. Well, he's got his daughters putting those rocks up on that wall. He's just an apothecary. He's just a merchant. They're not even qualified. They don't know how to build that wall. They don't know what they're doing. And look at the material they're using. Burnt stones. Rocks and rubbish. Ashes laying everywhere. They think they're going to build that wall and Tobiah pipes in. Well, yeah, even if a fox came up against it, that wall would come down. It won't hold. You know what he's doing to these men? Hallelujah. He's bringing against these people an accusation of a failed past. He's bringing to these people that was a wall, and that was a gate, and that was a tower, and this was a city, but it's burnt now. It's wasted. It's useless. It's failed. It's no good. It should stay that way. You failed before, you'll fail again. It will not stand. You've got a past full of failure. It fell. And these people don't know what they're doing. They're not even qualified. Ha! Ha ha! Look, they can't do this. And Nehemiah, yeah, he hears it because he records it. He knows what he's saying. He hears it because he records it. And he knows that there's a past. And he knows that there's a bad past. And he prays about a bad past. Hallelujah, but he don't stop praying about a bad past. He prays to God about a tomorrow. He don't look at a past, he looks at a future. And Nehemiah gets those people together and says, yeah, we've got a bad past, but we can't stop on yesterday. We've got to step into tomorrow. And Nehemiah gathers those people together. And the Bible says, we read later on, but they had a mind to work. Hallelujah. 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 I've got something here that God spoke to me, and it goes along with this. This is a scripture I've used before with this sermon. I just preached this sermon here this last week, and I didn't even see this portion here in the light that I see it now. And I want to share it with you in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Nehemiah gathers those people together and he tells them, don't look at the past, look at the future. Don't look at the past, look at the future. God was speaking to me a few months ago in prayer. I got down on my knees and I was praying, and God gave me a quote. One man said we can go around quoting other men, and that's good and that's great and that's grand, but I'd rather be a man that's quoted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was down on my knees. I was praying. I was talking to God about whatever it was. But God gave me this quote. He said to me that I can say to you, my past ended yesterday. My past ended yesterday. One man wrote a song and said, my past is past. My past is over. And God gave that to me. He said, my past ended yesterday, but my future starts right now. I don't have to wait till tomorrow for my future. I can start my future right now. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3 there. Amen. He starts talking to them. And I want you to just take a minute with me. Hallelujah. I've never tried this before. Hallelujah. So I may just mess up. So I need to be real comfortable right now. Is that okay? Because if we're real comfortable, we can mess up and still have fun, right? Okay. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, that I may know Him, which is my future, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. I may know His next level. Being made conformable unto His death. I want to be like Jesus. I want to go to the next level.
In verse 11, if you don't take time to read it, you can almost get confused. Almost. If by any means I might attain, I might attain. A man has attained a degree. A man has attained, he's attained a raise. A man has attained, I might attain something. I might be able to get to, that I might attain. There he uses that word, that I might attain it. I might attain unto the resurrection. How many want to see it to the end? And we know what the power of the resurrection is. And that thing burns in our body and we feel that rapture. We feel that change. God gave me a vision one night years ago of the rapture of the church. My. What an experience God gave me. I was laying in my bed. I was on a bunk bed, on the upper level bunk bed, and God gave me a vision of the rapture. Hallelujah. And when I come to, my brother was waking me up. He was shaking the bed like this. Wake up, Clayton. What's wrong? I said, I couldn't speak. Oh, Jesus. I couldn't speak. He said, what's wrong? He said, the whole bed is shaking. The whole bed is bouncing in the room. God gave me a vision of what the rapture might be like. Hallelujah. And I want to attain the resurrection. I want to be ready when that day comes. I want to feel the resurrection of the saints. I want to know what that rapture is going to be. And Paul's got a future out there in front of him. He wants to attain unto that day. He wants to get a hold of that day and go after that day unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, though. Not as though I'd already attained, or either were already perfect. But I follow after it. I follow after that resurrection. I'm not perfect, I ain't attained, but I'm gonna follow it. If that I might be apprehended. Woo! I want to read that to you there. I'm reaching after something. I'm following after that resurrection. Not as though I'd already attained or either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I might apprehend. If that I might apprehend that which also I am apprehended. I can say I may not be able to explain this very well, but I see a robber. I see a crook. I see him running from the law. I see he committed a crime and they're trying to get a hold of him. They're trying to chase him down. And there's a word used when they get a hold of him. You know what that word is? Apprehended. They got control of him. They got a hold of him. The Apostle Paul is running. He's trying to attain unto the resurrection. And Jesus Christ comes along and apprehends him. Gets a hold of him. Hallelujah. I may have not attained perfection. I may not have attained the resurrection. I may not have attained the rapture. I may not have attained heaven. But something has got a hold of me. Something's got a hold of me. It's something that's carried me on. I've not been apprehended. I've not apprehended, but I've been apprehended. And you know what he says there in that apprehension? He goes on. He goes, in my memory, it's like that gas tank. I need a new fill up. Hallelujah, that I might be apprehend, if that I may apprehend, he says, for that which also I'm apprehended of Christ, something's got a hold of him. But he says in verse 13, I want you to notice here, he kind of stops the picture there in the conversation, and he says, brethren, his brothers, sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended. I still got shoes on my feet, still walking on this earth. Hallelujah, I'm still living in this world. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Wow! This one thing I do. I'm not perfect. I'm not attained. I'm not apprehended. I've been apprehended, but I've not made it there. But this one thing I do. Nehemiah standing on that wall and standing by Tobiah telling them about their bad past, about their problems, about their failures, about their yesterdays. Paul the Apostle, he's not made it to heaven. There's one thing that Paul has learned. This is one thing I do. Forgetting. 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 Paul has failed now. If I can forget my past, I can go to the future with God. There's something the church needs to realize today. We've got a right to forget. We've got a right to forget. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You've got a right to forget, church. Nehemiah had a right to forget. Amen. Those people may have been unqualified. They may have been a band of people that didn't know what they were doing. Hallelujah. But they had a right. You hear me? They had a right. This world may say they can't have camp meeting. We've got a right. This world may say they can't build a church. We've got a right. This world may not understand. We've got a right to press forward for God. In closing, I want to go back to a statement I made earlier about sealing that gate. I press toward a mark for the prize. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. God wants us to be careful of our gate. And I understand, because I'm a pastor and we understand and we know. And we know what it feels like. Some of our churches may be big enough to fit inside of somebody's living room. But we've got a right. Some of our churches may not be as big as the one down the road, but we've got a right. They don't. We've got a right. And Nehemiah may have just been a cupbearer. He may have just been a servant. He may have just been someone that wasn't qualified, but he had a right to go back and put those people to a mind to work for God. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's just praise God. I've got a right. Praise God. I've got a right. I've got a right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My friend, I encourage you to go on for God. You don't have to be qualified. Hallelujah. You don't have to know all the ropes. You just got to forget your past and go forward for God. Forget it. Just forget it. You've got a right to forget. You've got a right to forget. Shut your ears on those words of the enemy that tells you about a failure of yesterday. Pick up those stones of yesterday. Polish them off and start rebuilding a kingdom in your life for God. You've got a right. Hallelujah. 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 Let's lift our hands one more time. Hallelujah. The director, brother, come. Hallelujah. I'm done. I don't know if y'all have altar service. I don't know how y'all do this. I'm not going to do anything, but I just hand this over to the brother. You've got a right. You've got a right to go forward for God. No matter what you've done, you've got a right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's come down around the altars today and claim that right. Amen. Some of us need to claim that right that we have. Let's come forward today. Spend some time around these altars. Amen. Claim that right that you have. Don't let the devil take it from you. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Amen. Take back what the devil's taken from you. You have a right. God, we have a right, Lord God. We call upon you, Jesus. God, we're going to take back what the enemy's taken from us, oh God. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired, God. We're moving forward in you, God. God, we're moving forward in victory, God. We may not be qualified, but we have a right, God. Lord, we move forward by faith, God. We're moving forward, Jesus. Call out to the Lord today, each one of you. Each one of you. I have a right. Amen. I have a right. Some of you need to pronounce that to the enemy. Enemy, I have a right. Amen. I'm working for God. Amen. The past is forgotten. The past is the past. Amen. Today's a new day. I'm moving forward. I have a right in God. And I forget the past. Let your bygones be bygones. Amen. We move forward in God. Today's a new day, God, in you, Jesus. God, we reach out to you today, God. Lord, we reach out to you today, God. Change us, Lord. God, change us, God. Lord, that we have it down in our hearts, in the depths of our souls. God, that we're going to work for you, God. We're going to do what you would have us to do, oh God. Lord, we take it back today, God. We take it back today, God. We're not under that condemnation, God, but we've been forgiven, God. We're moving forward. Today's a new day, God. A new day today, oh God. Lord, we reach out to you, Jesus. We reach out to you today, oh God. Lord, change our heart. Change our way of thinking, God. Lord, that we'll think like you want us to think, God. We'll talk like you want us to talk, oh God. Lord, we'll take it back, God. Lord, we won't let the enemy push us over, God. Lord, we'll drive him back today in the name of the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, work in our hearts, God. Work in our lives today, oh God. Lord, we reach out to you, Jesus. We reach out to you, Lord. Reach out to the Lord today. Reach out to the Lord today. You got to reach out for yourself. Amen. Reach out today. Amen. Receive from the Lord today. Amen. Let this be a changing point, a turning point in your life today. Oh, let God touch your heart today. God, I reach out to you today, Lord. It's going to be different from this day forward. It's going to be different. It's a new day, God. It's a new beginning, God. Lord, I forget my past. God, I press on. I press on. God, I reach out. I press on. It's new, God. It's new, God. I reach out to you, Jesus. Reach out to him today. Amen. Let him touch your heart. Let him touch your spirit today. Amen. Reach out. Reach out to God. Let him touch you today. Reach out to God. Mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, when I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. If there's anybody here that's really struggling with something in your past, you're struggling with something in your past, come down here close to the altar. Our brother is going to agree with you in prayer. Something in your past that you're struggling with, something you just can't let go of, you can't get over it. Amen. It keeps coming back after you. Come down here. Let our brother pray with you that you can be delivered today. Amen. That the thing can be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody like that, come down here. Let God set you free today. Amen. You got to forget the past. Amen. We're moving forward today. Amen. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory right now. Oh, now, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, victory right now. Oh, victory right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory right now. Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, right now. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, Satan, your kingdom has come down. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, victory, it is mine. Oh, if I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Oh, victory, it is mine. Praise Him today. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. We got to go in the power, amen, and in the might of the Spirit. Amen. Don't go in your own power and might. You'll fall flat on your face. Amen. Go in the power and the might of the Spirit. Amen. And we'll be back here tonight for service at 7 o'clock. God bless you.